This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A 1-0 final in the season finale as the Sabres fall in Pittsburgh. So we welcome you in here to the Paul William Belts postgame show. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for being with us here along the Sabres radio network. Now, the Sabres finished the season in ugly fashion in terms of the final record, 15-41, 15-34-7 with the OT losses and shootout losses. But a season that ends and probably can't end soon enough for many. There were some bright moments after the coaching change from Ralph Kruger to Don Granato. There is some promise with some young players, but when you just talk about this season as a whole, it ranks right up there with one of the worst of all time in this franchise history. Many argued, maybe at the halfway point of the year, that it was the worst in Sabres history. Credit Don Granato for saving it from, at least in my opinion, from maybe being the worst. It will be remembered for a horrendous start. It will be remembered for a coaching change. It'll be remembered for a COVID pause. It'll be remembered for a season that was played in front of an empty building for the most part. And there were some nice moments here and there, whether it was the reemergence of some young players, or you'll remember Dustin Tokarski or Michael Hauser, you know, for maybe a blip second in their Sabre careers. But nevertheless, this season ends in disappointment. And for a team now that has missed the playoffs for a decade and an NHL record's worth, there is a lot to be done to when the Sabres know it. And Kevin Adams, the Sabres general manager, has a tall task ahead of him. And the first of many decisions that he has to make will be what to do with the head coach. And I'm sure that'll be front and center of his long list of things to do. Maxim Lagesse ends up getting his first career shutout today, 29 saves. And it's his first win since 2017. That's when he was with Vegas. So a win for Lagesse here as the Sabres unable to score in the regular season finale. For Pittsburgh, they will go on to the postseason and have a chance to win the division. If the Capitals don't win their final two games in regulation, then it will be Pittsburgh as the champs of the Eastern Division. And kudos for them. I did not think that Pittsburgh would be as good as they are. I thought another veteran team that got a year older, and they got it done for sure in a year that had a ton of challenges. But the Penguins are hoping tonight that Washington loses, and they've got a chance to be the Eastern Conference champions. Brian Colziel here on your Paul William Belts postgame show. We will be getting locker room reaction from PPG Paints Arena in just a few moments. Also, we'll have Don Granato's postgame comments. We'll hear from Paul Hamilton as the Sabres do fall in the final game of the season by a score of 1-0. Final shot totals, Sabres just muster up 5 in the third. They finish with 29. And for Pittsburgh, they got 14 in the third, but still only get up to 23 by game's end. This was not an offensive juggernaut by either team. Obviously, the score is evident of that with the 1-0 final. Power plays, the referees also seemed interested in ending their regular season. There were very few called. The Sabres have one power play and go 0 of 1. The Penguins had 2 and go 0 of 2. The winning goaltender, as we said, Maxim Lagesse, He ends up facing 29 Buffalo shots and makes 29 saves. Michael Hauser in the loss, just let in one. Probably deserved a better fate today. 23 shots, 22 saves. Your three stars, Hauser from Buffalo, star number three. Carter, who had the lone goal from Pittsburgh, is star number two. And Legacy in goal for Pittsburgh, star number one. Your three stars brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Well, our spotlight review, ironically enough, was on the guy that scored today. We said in pregame, well, every time we talk about Pittsburgh, it's Crosby and it's Malkin. We said, well, what about Jeff Carter? And guess what? He had scored four in the previous game. He gets the lone goal today. So wouldn't you know it, Jeff Carter ends up being the hero here today. The spotlight review, the look at the other team, brought to you by Jim's Steakout. No need to lace up for great food. Get it delivered. Visit jimsstakeout.com. So as I said, with the win, Pittsburgh looking very good in terms of their chances to be the Eastern Division champions, have home ice at least guaranteed for the first two rounds of the playoffs. Remember, this year in the postseason, you've got to play within your division. The division winner will be the one seed and play the four seed, and then two will play three, and then, of course, the two winners will meet up after the first round, or after the second round of the playoffs. Then after that, we don't know what division's going to play what. It will be by best record versus worst record amongst the teams that come out, and then, of course, the middle two will end up playing. Okay, let's go now to Pittsburgh and PPG Paints Arena, and live, here's Casey Mittelstadt on the postgame.
You know, we know what's going to happen in the coming weeks, but when it comes to Don and the impact he had on you guys, you know, this last, particularly the last month or so, I mean, what really stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of guys, including myself, owe Donnie quite a bit. I think he challenged me when he took over and pushed me to become a better player. I think it's that simple. And I think a lot of the strides I've made are partly because of him pushing me, or a lot to do with him pushing me. So obviously, like you said, we don't know what's going to happen, but I owe Donnie a huge thank you.
Casey, the team played so much better in this game than you did the last game in Pittsburgh. What were the differences that you were able to limit Pittsburgh's chances today?
I think we did a better job playing fast. I think the first game we played right into what they want and gave pucks right in the D zone. And I think we honestly took a little bit of a page out of their book and got pucks out of our end quick and got them into there and went and played offense. And yeah, like you said, it was a lot better game for us. And yeah, it would have been nice to have that one.
Casey, I mean, there was a pretty dramatic transformation under Don once you guys had a week or two together. Like, how did he get through to the group? What changed? Maybe that's a broad question, but like, what exactly changed in your opinion after he took over?
I mean, obviously we played a little different style. We played more upbeat and faster and made some more plays, but I don't know. I think Donnie challenged some guys. He challenged a lot of the young guys, like I said before. And I think that makes a big difference. Give guys kind of a kick in the ass and get them going. And yeah, I think there was also a little more just pressure within the lineup, guys being in and having to play well. And I think that makes a difference, guys pushing each other for spots. And I think that's how you build a team.
You see, in my life, I've seen some teams in the past that don't play it right to the end. You guys did. I mean, you played it right to the final whistle. You didn't give up at all or just use it as a throwaway game because the season was ending. What was the motivation for you guys to say, hey, we're going to take this right up to the end?
I mean, I think there's a lot of motivation. It's an NHL game, and all of us are trying to prove ourselves and play well. And on top of that, we left Hauser out to dry in the first game in his hometown, and we wanted to be better for him tonight. And I thought we were better for him. It's too bad that we couldn't get some for him and give him a win. But like I said, it comes down to being better for our goalie, and he did a hell of a job tonight.
Casey, what's it been like just to watch, I mean, Hauser this past week? I mean, it's unlikely that he ends up getting in. A lot of guys are hurt. I mean, as a team, I mean, what was it like just you guys rallying around him a bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I think you saw the excitement on his face after the Islander games. And, you know, I think it's something we kind of needed. We need a little bit of a boost. Like you guys said, you get into the dog days and we're out of it. And guys want to play hard. And Hauser came in and you see how excited he is. And gives guys kind of a slap in the face, realize you're still playing in the NHL, go play hard and enjoy it, because it can be taken away pretty quickly. So it was cool. And obviously we all owe him a hug, and he did a great job.
Well said, Casey. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, there's Casey Mittelstadt on our Paul William Belts post-game show as the Sabres fall to Pittsburgh 1-0. And we're going to go right back to PPG Paints Arena and hear from today's goaltender. Here's Michael Hauser now live on the post.
Michael, I can only imagine how you feel now. Of course you want to win the game, but to see the team play so much better in front of you in this one and just to have a better game had to be satisfying.
Yeah, that was satisfying, especially it being our last game. Just the effort that I thought that we showed for all 60 minutes, that was really fun to play behind. We were getting out of our zone extremely well, I thought, the entire game. And that made it pretty easy on me. We only had, I think, single-digit shots through two again. So, you know, my job was just to make sure that, you know, when they did come on net, that I was controlling them, trying to see it the best I could and give us a chance to win. And, you know, their guy played pretty well as well. But I was really happy with the effort that we showed.
Michael, can you describe the emotions of the past, you know, 5-6 days here and how special this time has been and maybe what it's done for your career?
Yeah, it's I haven't thought about it too much yet. It's pretty fresh still, but I think in the next few weeks it'll, you know, sink in a little bit more. And yeah, it's been, you know, kind of both extremes over the past five, six days. First two wins, and then, you know, the last game wasn't the way that we wanted it to go. And then today I thought it was a great effort from like all 19 guys that played. It was, you know, we were on top of it. And, you know, Donnie touched on after the game, it just shows how, you know, we can make adjustments like that on the fly when we have a day off in between and we can practice. And, you know, I know guys are going to be looking forward to next year when there is more practice time. So if you do have a rough game, it's not going to drag on forever and ever because, you know, there was no practice time this year. We'll, you know, get the kinks going and be ready for the next one.
Michael, what does it mean to you that you were able to show that you can play at this level after, you know, waiting as long as you did for this opportunity?
Yeah, it was, it's mostly, I guess, showing myself was what I wanted to do. I've always thought that I could play at this level. I've always thought that I could win games here, and it would have been nice to win today. But, you know, those first two, I think in a few weeks I'll figure out that, you know, I can play here and play well and give our team a chance to win. I think that's all you can ask from a goalie.
Michael, John Worrell with the AP. The record, the Sabres record, their final record is their record. And you've been mostly watching this thing from the outside. Now you got a chance to taste it from the inside. Is this team, as it stands right now, the way it closed the season, a reflection of what that record is? Or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think we're quite a bit better than what the record indicates. I think we've gotten a lot better, at least since I've joined the team, and I could see it from the stands and then on the bench a few games and then behind it the last four. I think we've, you know, played much, much better. And I was watching most of the games earlier in the year from Roch anyways. So, you know, there's so much talent in that room and, you know, most of the talent is fairly young and they're only going to get better. It was a great opportunity for a lot of guys this year to really showcase themselves, especially late in the season. And we started winning some games too. And that's all you want to do is go out there and, you know, work as hard as you can. And, you know, especially the young skill guys, I think they really shown that they could play in this league.
All right, Michael, we're all set. Thank you.
Thanks.
Goaltender Michael Hauser there as he only lets in one. 22 saves on 23 shots, but the Penguins get the lone goal courtesy of Jeff Carter. And they beat Buffalo 1-0. Hey, for all of our local affiliates at this time, we're going to say goodbye to you. If you want to keep listening to the post game, go to WGR550.com. And again, for all of our affiliates, we want to thank you for listening and supporting our broadcast here throughout the season. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope that you'll be back again with us come next season. For all of you on our flagship on WGR, we got more postgame, including Don Granato's postgame comments, Paul Hamilton as well. 1-0 Pittsburgh, the final in the season finale for the Buffalo Sabres. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Puck comes to center, in over the line, 2-on-1. Pittsburgh, Crosby, the pass comes out in front, and Hauser got across in time to make the save.
Rick Jenneret in the call. It's the save of the game from Michael Hauser. Brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. Great deals are waiting for you now at your local Upstate Honda dealer. Brian Colziel back here on the post game. Let's get to our goal of the game now, and it's brought to you by Roswell Park, the designated cancer center of the Buffalo Sabres, urging men to get a second opinion at Roswell Park when they hear the words, "You have cancer." Well, a lot of discussion between TJ and I on what the goal of the game should have been. Well, actually, there was only one. And it's Jeff Carter, and it's the game winner.
Bjork in the corner. He couldn't get it. Came in front of the net. They score. Pittsburgh battling that one in as it's tapped into the net by Jeff Carter, appeared to be. And Carter is feasting on the Sabres with his fifth goal in two games.
That's the only tally of the game. Penguins win it 1-0 on that goal. Carter's 17th from Gaudreau, 1:58 into period number two. That gave Pittsburgh the 1-0 lead. And that was the only goal of the game. And it was a dumb goal. I mean, a lucky bounce goal. Sabres turned it over. Bjork did. It was thrown behind the net. And then Gaudreau throws it in front. And it kind of bounces weird. And then it goes off Carter's chest. And then he realizes it went in. And he celebrates. Yes, 5 goals in 2 games for Carter. He's had a good career against the Sabres. 20 goals in 39 games. So a pretty impressive number there for Jeff Carter. All of our moments and highlights of the game, they've been brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Brian Colziel with you here. We expect to hear from head coach Don Granato in just the next few moments. We'll also have thoughts from Paul Hamilton as Buffalo falls to Pittsburgh today 1-0, and their final record ends up at 15-34. And 7. 37 points for the Sabres. And what was clinched last game now is official that Buffalo will be last in the standings. Good time to check our NHL standings. Brought to you by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods at Dash's Markets. So Pittsburgh gets the win, and that increases their chances heavily of winning the Eastern Division and having home ice at least through the first two rounds. They have 77 points. Only Washington can catch them. They have the tiebreaker on the Bruins. Pittsburgh does. Washington, if they win both of their games in regulation, they'll be tied with 77 points each. But the regulation wins tiebreaker is what's the tiebreaker this year. Washington would have one more. If Washington wins either of their final two games in a shootout or an overtime, then Pittsburgh would end up having it because they have the second tiebreaker, the ROW. So Washington has to go regulation win to finish it off. Otherwise, Pittsburgh will be the one seed. And then, of course, Washington and Boston are still battling it out for second. All right, Pittsburgh wins it 1-0. Don Granato, ready to speak live from Pittsburgh.
I guess this isn't the easiest question to ask, but when you look back on just, you know, the past month, even more than that, what are you most proud of when it comes to the job that you and your staff were able to do? Taking over in a very difficult situation.
Yeah, I'm proud, first of all, to be part of, you know, the organization, the Sabres, and honored to have the position of, you know, being in charge to make the decisions I've had to make. You know, that in itself is a lot to be proud of. You have a job like this, and then you're surrounded by good people, good players. And, you know, again, you as a coach, you have nothing if you can't push guys. And I really felt the best thing was to be able to push guys. Guys, you know, wanted to be pushed. They wanted more. They felt they could give more, and they had more in them within themselves. You know, and that was something very, very nice and very special to have as a coach. But I guess, Lance, just proud to be in the position and be with the group that we had.
And, two things, I guess. Do you want to be back, come back, and when will you really start thinking about your future?
Those are two good questions. I guess it all starts now. We'll close out the year here. We'll sit down tomorrow and talk more. I will with Kevin on the season and what, our players, our team, those sorts of things, as I have, pretty much every day in the last bit. So that will continue tomorrow and we'll see where that takes us. Again, it's hard to just let go of what just happened. I'm still thinking about our game today, the preparation that went into it. I thought our guys did an incredible job with adjustments. We were too loose the other day. We talked about playing too much like pond hockey the other day, and we tightened things up. We made a lot of improvements, and I was very proud of that. So all of that's on my mind. I can't even go anywhere else, actually.
You just talked about the improvement in this game, and how proud of you. I mean, I've watched pro sports a long time, and sometimes that last game can turn into a debacle. The players aren't into it. They're like, yeah, the season's over, forget it. Your guys didn't do that. They came out and played their hardest and really decided they wanted to play a lot better than they did in the last game. How proud does that make you, just to your team in general, that, hey, they played it right till the final whistle?
That's something to be very proud of as a coach. You hand it off to your team and they're going to respond or not. And yesterday's practice was a real good indication that they were very engaged. I mean, they were intense in practice yesterday, intense about practice. And you could see it in the preparation today. We outlined changes that we felt we needed to make to tighten things up and to not give them all the confidence we gave them the other night and allow the crowd to get into it. Too many momentum swings. So when you laid that out, it's not a real attractive, game plan and strategy, because you're not talking about scoring and scoring and scoring. But, we certainly didn't say we're not scoring. Unfortunately, that happened. I give our guys a tremendous amount of credit for dialing in today and the adjustments that needed to be made. And we still generated chances that we just didn't convert on.
Don, John Worrell, the standings will always be the standings in time in memoriam. Do you see this as a last place team, given where you guys have finished and how you guys finished?
Well, there's lots of ways to look at that, John. I've been on, gone all the way to a championship and lost, and it's no different than this. It's probably more miserable in some points because you're so damn close that you second guess and question everything you did up to that point. As a team, as a coach, as an organization. So there's only one team that's going to be happy at the end of this year. Some teams are in, at the end of it, it'll be, they thought they had a chance and they didn't. We focused on what we needed to. And I mentioned that when I took over. This is a different moment. We need to make everybody better. We're not good enough at that moment to win hockey games. And we're not going to chase one win. We're gonna work and work and work until we get our head above water and we can win and know how to win. And I think our guys advanced. They have a taste that their confidence. They should have had no confidence going in this building today, giving up 8 goals the other day. They came in that game from the drop of the puck and had confidence, and that's progress. And you guys questioned us. I shouldn't say you guys. I mean, we spoke about, we hadn't won against top teams in this division. What are we going to do with the last end of this schedule? And, we challenged our guys with that. And they took that upon themselves. And so lots of good things and lots of signs of progress. But, at the end of the day, there's going to be 30 teams not winning a cup. And so we're not happy with progress. That's expected. And we'll keep moving forward. I know the guys will do that.
Hey, Don, have you and Kevin discussed how you guys will handle the exit interviews with players, and what kind of messages do you want to send to these guys heading into the offseason?
We'll discuss that tomorrow. Actually, we'll discuss that tomorrow. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So with me, the exit interviews, I care about these guys. I told them that, unfortunately, when you're in a position as a coach, I have lots of ex-players wonder whether I actually cared about them. you know, and that saddens you as a coach, because you have to push and demand and drive them to, so you're not always patting them on the back. And a lot of times they wonder whether they, you know, you even care about them. But you do as a coach, very much. So for me, I want to see all these guys be successful. I told them that if there's anything I can do to help them down the road, be happy to do it, because they gave us, as a coaching staff, an awful lot.
Don, Casey Mittelstadt just said he owes so much to you. Obviously, the guys see the care that you put into this game and to each player. How have you grappled with the emotions of taking over this team over almost the past 2 months? And what are you feeling now that the season's over?
Yeah, first of all, I don't feel it's over yet. It may hit me tomorrow. I may go into a depression, I guess. But you know, it's still hard to leave that game behind. You feel bad. I feel bad for our guys. I felt great for Michael Hauser and bad for him in the same sense. He stopped every puck shot at him, and one goes off a guy's body and goes in. But he played a great game. I really felt our guys put an effort in it tonight. Today you could say they deserve more. They deserve better. And again, that's a hard feeling as a coach when guys competed hard, and they didn't get the reward. You know, it's a lot easier the other way when you know you're going to have to get on them and push them the next day. But great effort by our guys today. I guess I don't have a handle on the emotional side. I think that's what you're asking. And it's still too professional for me at this point.
Don, did that walk from the bench down the tunnel after the game feel any different today? I mean, do you find yourself sort of savoring the moments of the day, I guess, the best way to put it?
No, actually, no. As I said, I have a deep respect for being in the position I'm in, but I don't really like emotional highs or lows and drama. It just doesn't work for me. This is still a business. And like I said, I felt what I felt for the players. It's not, maybe tomorrow I'll feel stuff for myself, but it's too hard at this point to feel anything in that regard.
We're all set, Don. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
There is Sabres head coach Don Granato, his post-game comments. Brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. Brian Colesio back here on our final Paul William Belts postgame show of this season, as the Sabres, of course, will miss the playoffs again. And we're just hoping that maybe 1 year after this game ends at the end of the regular season, that we'll be sitting here right now talking about who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. It would be such a refreshing thought of mine to have. But nevertheless, if that is Don Granato's last game as head coach, I never personally have met him yet. The media this year and the team personnel are not really allowed to be anywhere near each other due to COVID policies. But I will say this for me, who has heard coaches' interviews and interviewed players and coaches, going back to Lindy Ruff all the way through with Ted Nolan and Dan Bylsma and Phil Housley and Ron Rolston and Ralph Krueger and Don Granato here, Don Granato with the media was nothing but class, and I thought handled himself extremely well and shared, I thought, thoughts that you'd like to hear from a head coach, seemed to be genuinely honest and cared about his players. And I guess, from my outside perspective, again, not being able to be on the inside, I guess that's a lot of things that you could ask of a coach, is that you'd want him to represent the organization well in all those ways that I just did. And I thought he did a good job of that. With that being said, that doesn't mean that he deserves to be the head coach of this team. Now, in pregame, we talked quite a bit about why he should be the head coach of the team. Just because you speak well and represent your team well and you have a good relationship with the media and you care about your players doesn't mean you're the best fit for the job. To be honest, though, I really think he is the best fit for this job at this moment. There are guys that have better resumes, that have longer resumes, but there's also an unknown. Don Granato seemed to be able to push the right buttons with this young group. Carrying it over into another season is definitely a challenge if that ends up being the case for Granato. But I just feel like, he just seems to be able to strike the right chord that has been missing here. Whether it's been from a former Hall of Famer like Phil Housley, or the guy with the resume like Dan Bylsma, or the off-the-beaten-path look with Ralph Krueger. None of them have been able to push Rasmus Dahlin and Casey Mittelstadt and Tage Thompson and some of these other guys that we're seeing now maybe fulfill some of that potential that everybody thought might you see when you know, they were drafted or brought into the Sabres organization. And to hear it from Mittelstadt himself, that, you know, he challenged us, he pushed us, he wants the best out of us. Like, I think that goes a long way. I think he's the favorite to get the job. I would be surprised if he didn't. I do think they should interview others. I do think that they shouldn't make the decision this week. I wouldn't blame them if they end up giving it to Granato. I wouldn't blame them if they end up giving it to somebody else. But I think Granato has done enough that he deserves it. And for as easy as it is to rip into the Sabres organization for a lot of reasons, if Kevin Adams decides to offer the job to Don Granato and he accepts, I don't think there's a lot of negative that could go with it. There's unknown with every guy coming in. There's still some unknown with Granato, but you know what you have. And part of this with hockey is forming relationship with your players that this team, to me, I think has been lacking for a long time. There's one little like asterisk with this, though, and what's the relationship with Granato with the most important piece of this puzzle, and that's Jack Eichel. If for whatever reason that seems to be checked off, like, yes, we know that's good, then to me this seems like the guy that they should be hiring, because they've figured out a way to get potential out of a lot of guys, and being a head coach means representing your team, representing it in the media, representing it in the public, representing it for fans, but also getting the best out of your players, and he's been able to do that, I think, in a pretty good fashion, considering he took over in one of the most possible worst situations that you could probably draw up. A team that was a disaster, that lacked any confidence, that had come off a COVID situation, playing in front of no fans in an empty building, realizing that essentially in the standings, every game was meaningless. But it seemed as though he was able to get out some pretty solid performances and some pretty good effort. How often since Don Granato took over did we sit here on postgame talking about effort? Not that much. How often did we sit here and say that looked like, you know, well, that period they didn't come to play, or boy, they did not come ready to play to start the game. We've had these conversations over the last decade quite a bit. It's a small sample size, but if I'm going to judge it on the sample that I have from Don Granato, I'd give him a good grade. And I would say happy if that ends up being the choice of Kevin Adams and the Buffalo Sabres. 1-0, the final, Pittsburgh defeating Buffalo. We'll have Paul Hamilton thoughts here in just one moment. But while we do wait for that, let's get our driver on the NHL in. And it's the scores, of course, from the other games. And it's brought to you by Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. Okay, there was one other game this afternoon with the Rangers and the Bruins, and quite a few more goals in that game as the Rangers beat the Bruins by a score of 5-4. Zibanejad ends up getting the game winner with 1:53 to go. He gets his 24th of the season. But a wild third. Pasternak, Marchand, Bergeron all scored in the third for Boston. Zibanejad had two. Lafreniere scored. Kratzoff scored. A wild scene in Boston, but the Rangers end up winning it 5-4. Okay, all the rest of the games are tonight. 7 o'clock puck drops. The Capitals, as I said, need to go regulation win to catch Pittsburgh and win the East. They'll host the Flyers at 7 o'clock. Islanders, they could pass Boston for third if it plays out right. They have something still to play for if they wish to. They'll host the Devils at 7. Ottawa is at Winnipeg. Also at 7 o'clock, Tampa Bay is at Florida. This is the matchup we know in the playoffs. First time ever the Panthers and the Lightning will meet in the first round of the playoffs. That's the 2-3 matchup in the Central Division. Other games, Columbus is hosting Detroit at 7 o'clock, Montreal at Toronto. 8 o'clock, Carolina at Nashville, Anaheim at Minnesota. The games at 10 p.m. include St. Louis at Vegas, Colorado at Los Angeles, Vancouver at Edmonton, and then at 10:30, Arizona is at San Jose. So a very, very busy night in the league. Lots of games on TV, so if you're looking for something to watch later, you will have plenty of options. All right, before we get to Paul Hamilton, let's get connected now with our fans, brought to you by Nextiva by Premcom, the official telephone system provider of the Buffalo Bills and Sabres. We've been connecting with our fans all game by having them tweet their favorite RJ moment or their favorite RJ call to WGR550. Now it's time for TJ and I to give you our favorite RJ moment or RJ call. There's so many good ones, of course. But since I've been covering the team, this is a moment that'll stick out with me. The Sabres starting the playoffs on their way to their first conference final run. And here's a beauty call from one of my favorite Sabres ever, Danny Briere, in overtime against the Flyers.
Back it comes, kept in by Hesh. Penalty coming up to Philadelphia. In front, they score! Danny Briere! Unleashed his 13th shot of the night, and Buffalo wins it in double overtime! Well, I was just about to say that this line has been knocking on the door all evening.
All right, there it is. Rick Jenneret along with Jim Lorenz and Briere scoring that goal, double overtime. And as Rick said, on at least his 13th shot of the night. It's my answer when, if somebody asks me, and I've been asked this many times, like, when's it ever been the loudest in the building? Since I've been working games, which dates back to 2004-05 season there, well, since after the lockout, that's the moment for me. Because that was the moment that you really thought, hey, maybe there's something special here. And that, of course, goes on to two conference final runs in a row. But Briere, one of my favorite Sabres, and a great call there from Rick as he wins it in overtime. Okay, TJ, what do you got here for our RJ moment?
I'm going to let mine speak for itself, so I'm just going to go ahead and play the highlight here.
Stolen away and cleared out to center ice to Pominville. Pominville into Ottawa territory. Pominville goes around Alfredson, cuts in front, score! Jason Pominville, shorthanded. Oh, now do you believe? Now do you believe? These guys are good, scary good, and they are going to either Carolina or New Jersey. The Buffalo Sabres knock off the Senators in overtime.
Same playoff run, but just a little bit later in the Ottawa series, the final game of the Ottawa series. I don't think it'll ever get better than that call for me.
For sure. And I think it's the best playoff hockey game that I've seen with Buffalo and Ottawa in that game. Just the back and forth, the swing of emotions, incredible. And a great call from Rick, for sure. Great choice, TJ. If you want to send us your favorite
Thanks.
RJ moment, you can send us a tweet as we get connected with our fans there at WGR550. Okay, do we have Paul yet? Okay, Paul Hamilton is there. Paul, you remember that Jason Pominville goal, I'm sure? That was a pretty special playoff game.
Yeah, it was. And the thing was, after he scored that goal, too, somebody pulled the fire alarm in the arena, and I'm up on top. And, you know, I got to get down there for live post game. And, you know, so, well, that ends the elevators once the fire alarm gets pulled. So I had to go outside. Luckily, it was a nice night out. You know, it was a warm night out. And I had to go outside, walk all the way around the building, down to the parking lot, into the media entrance, and re-enter the building that way. And... I'm just sitting there going, this isn't happening. Are you kidding me? And yeah, it all worked out. I mean, we got on the air and everything, but yeah, there was some fan was not pleased with that goal and pulled the fire alarm.
Well, Paul, unfortunately today, the Sabres don't have any goals for us to discuss. They fall 1-0. Michael Hauser, good for him that his team rallied around him and he finished, even though in a loss, on a positive note.
Yeah, and so we've seen it in sports so many times. I've seen it with the Sabres before. They run for the bus. Just an awful last game. They put nothing into it. It's like the season's over. Let's just get this over with. Let's get on an airplane and get home and end this. And that is not what happened today, and I'm very impressed by it. I like the fact that after they got pasted in Pittsburgh 8-4, they had a good practice on Friday, knowing that there's only one game left. There's nothing to play for, really. But as you heard Casey Mittelstadt say, there was something. They wanted to do better for Hauser. They were very embarrassed the way they hung him out to dry in that 8-4 game. And they did it. They came out that first period. They gave up one really good scoring chance. But, you know, the turnovers were at a minimum. They played much better. They played from start to finish. They had opportunities to score. They did create some scoring chances. Yeah, they got outshot 14-5 in the third period. But even in the third period, they created some scoring chances. There was that pass. It was a shame that Olofsson couldn't have given Reinhardt a better pass with the goaltender pulled, because all Reinhart could do is get his skate on it, and it popped up and went over the top of the net. It would have been interesting to see if that goal would have counted. I would say yes, it would have, but it would have been interesting. But, you know, just a better pass, and Reinhart is a tap-in, and now we're talking about overtime. So they did have some opportunities, but they played it from start to finish to the final whistle, and I've seen a lot of teams in pro sports that don't do that. So I was pleased to see that.
Casey Mittelstadt's comments, Paul, I thought were very intriguing, but I guess not surprising. He said that Don Granato challenged him, challenged the young guys, said, look, you can give more. And I guess, you know, it was only one vote from one player, but it seemed like a vote that probably would be echoed from many of the young players, that Don Granato figured out a way to get the best out of these guys. And it might have even been just as you said, or as he has said in the past, like sometimes coaching less is actually the best way to coach. They played a different style. He said more upbeat. But in general, I mean, I remember, you know, you've said it, you even said it today. You know, you said there were 12, 13, 14 guys that you thought had to get out of here. And you've probably, I don't want to speak for you, at least maybe cut that list in half. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these young guys that I thought were done, that were busts, that were never going to be more than an AHL player, they might now have a solid NHL future ahead.
And there still has to be more improvements. So that's some motivation right there for some of these youngsters. It's like, yes, you've improved a lot, but have you improved enough? I mean, yes, this is an improved roster. Is it even a playoff team? No. And, you know, so changes still need to be made. I mean, is the center position good enough if you go with Eichel, Mittelstadt, and Cousins, and then maybe put Reinhart back on the wing with Eichel? I don't think you want to put any of those four centers as the last center. The last line has to be an energy line. So somebody would either have to move to wing or be traded if they wanted to keep Reinhart at center. And the thing is, as I've said before, it's not that it's gone badly at all. It's just, you know, he can produce at the wing. You know, he can produce at center. And now you've seen Mittelstadt and Cousins. And Cousins, I would just say don't be worried about the last 10 games or so where he has really shown nothing. He had COVID. He didn't feel symptoms. He had two times where he had to quarantine for long periods of time with teams. You know, then he had the World Junior where he had quarantined there for a long time. I just think the kid hit a rookie wall. I'm really not worried about him at all. I think he's the real deal. I think he can be the center behind Jack Eichel very easily and for years to come. And so I just think he hit the rookie wall. So, you know, there are decisions that have to be made. Is Ristolainen good enough? Is Asplund and Thompson, even with their improved play, but is that a line that you could put out there as a regular line and win championships with? Where are you at with Bork? I mean, you know, type of thing. What are you going to do with Skinner? It's almost obvious to me that his better days are behind him. I mean, it didn't matter who the coach was or whatever. He just, for 2 years, has just not been there whatsoever. And it happens. It happens. You know, eventually that you just don't have it anymore. So they don't have a lot of moves with him, what they can do with him. But they got to get him off to the top two lines because he's killing them right now. And they have to find better than Jeff Skinner on the top line. They have to find better than Victor Olsson in the top six guys. You know, those things have to be better, which means some of these guys that have improved a lot aren't going to be part of this.
Paul Hamilton here with me, with Brian Koziel on our Paul William Belts post game. Final game, Pittsburgh winning 1-0. The Sabres finished the season 15-34-7. Paul, what's the timeline here of what comes next? I know Don Granato said he's still kind of thinking about this game, but he said they're going to meet. He will meet with Kevin Adams tomorrow. Do they do exit player interviews tomorrow? Is that Monday? When's kind of the, at least from what you know, what's the next day or two look like?
Last year they did it the day after, but since Adams probably wants to sit down and talk to Granato and decide if he wants to have him part of the exit interviews on Monday, or if he doesn't, or if he's going to hire him as a coach. I mean, it's possible he could get hired as the coach tomorrow. I'm not predicting that at all. I don't have any information. I'm just saying there's a possibility that could happen. I personally think that would be a mistake. Not that I don't think Don Granato deserves or can handle the job. I think right now he's the front runner, but I totally believe that they should go through with the interviewing process and exhaust all options and then decide if Don Granato is the best option for them. I just think they should continue to do that. So I don't, unless they've interviewed all the coaches they want to interview, and some are still involved in the season, so I would find that hard to believe. I don't think that Don Granato should be named head coach tomorrow.
Yep. Well, Paul, I've been doing this now since as host since 2007, and been working with you on the broadcast since we came out of the lockout. You've shown me the ropes, and here we are talking here in 2021 in a season that I don't think you and I ever thought maybe was going to happen at times. It eventually got off the ground and running. We had a pause. We watched games in front of an empty building. And obviously, here's to hoping that next year we get to watch games downtown in front of a full building again. But my sincere appreciation is always for working with you. You're a star of our show. I always love it. And nothing is ever guaranteed. So, you know, I want to hope that we're back again next fall with all that is right with the world. And we'll be back doing what we love, which is watching, we hope, a good team in front of a whole bunch of fans in a fun building again.
Well, thank you, and I enjoyed it, and maybe you never know what you've got until you lose it, and for 10 months I lost it here, not knowing and thinking that I wasn't going to be back, and fortunately that WGR did bring me back, and I was thrilled about it to get to work with people like you and TJ and Pat and your brother John and Kyle and everybody on the broadcast. It's, you know, I have a blast with it. Unfortunately, we can't get together like for the road games, you know, like we used to because of protocols, but still it's been a blast. And you're right, I did not, when April and May was rolling around, I thought there's no way the NHL is going to be able to have a season this year. I really didn't think it was going to happen. So, you know, kudos to the NHL. Were there problems? Yes, but they figured it out. They got a season in. They're headed to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and hopefully, you know, with the vaccines and everything, everything's back to normal when the season would hopefully, they're looking at an October start, which may be a week later than normal. So that would be fantastic.
Okay, Paul, well, enjoy the playoffs, but your job's not done. We've got, you know, the exit interviews, and I'm sure there'll be player interviews and Don Granato and Kevin Adams all coming up. So we'll obviously be following all your work for that, and looking forward to hearing from you. So we'll be chatting soon.
And who knows, people may hear from you, me, and Pat again after the exit interviews or whatever. Maybe we'll throw something together, and we'll be able to get it out there to you.
That's right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Okay, Paul Hamilton, the star of our show here on our Sabres Radio Network broadcast. He mentioned a whole bunch of names there, and I want to repeat them because it is worth doing. Obviously, I already told you how I feel about Paul. The guys at the arena who I work with for all the home games, Pat Malacaro and my brother, Jonathan Koziel, helping me get on the air and keeping me organized, just do a tremendous job. TJ Luckman back in our studios, who has been on our network producing for basically every single game, has done a tremendous job. Gives me the creative ideas sometimes that you hear on the air, and always with the great sound and making us sound great on the air, keeping the timing down. So TJ, great job this year. Kyle, thank you. If you've enjoyed our social media and all of our game stories on our website at WGR550.com, Kyle's been a big part of that. And our lead engineer, Tom Matty, who none of us would have anything on the air here if it wasn't for Tom and his staff and his great work. So thank you for all of them. And, of course, Sabres PR and their work. Thank you for that. And, of course, we should thank our announcers as well. You heard Rick Jenneret, Dan Dunleavy, Rob Ray. They're always part of our broadcast. Our pregame show crew during the weekdays, Joe DiBiase producing, Chopin the Bulldog, of course, on that as well. But thanks to TJ and Kyle and Pat and John and Paul and Tom and Alan Davis, our program director, Dan Dunleavy, Rob Ray, Rick Jenneret, Sabres PR. Thank you all. And, of course, the biggest thanks of all, the listeners. We hope you enjoyed another season of Sabres broadcasts, even through all the losses. And we hope to be back all together in the fall, more broadcasts, and a hopefully a better season to talk about. Brian Colziel here, signing off. The final again here in the season finale. Pittsburgh 1, Buffalo nothing. Thanks again for listening. I'll talk to you soon right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.